From Moscow with love, this is Vasily and Natalie on Radio Sputnik. Online, on digital, AM, FM, and shortwave via WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. And hello, Natasha.
Hi, Vas. Hi. Sorry, folks. I'm late.
You're limping. What happened?
Oh, wait a minute. On Friday night, I was going to the Dutch as usual. It was pitch dark when I got off the train, and as I was approaching the taxi stop, I did notice a bump on the road, and I fell flat on my face on the asphalt. Ooh. And I bruised my knees, and I sprained my left shoulder. Mm. And as it turned out later, I even managed to scratch the left side of my face, and I had some sand in my mouth. I was lucky not to lose any teeth.
Yeah, you look awful.
Oh, thank you.
We should do another photo shoot right now for our Facebook fan site.
Ha ha.
So you fell flat on your face with no one around to help you get up and stuff?
No, two taxi drivers jumped out of their cars to pick me up immediately. They were so nice and so considerate, I was touched. But my knees, especially the left one, hurt so badly I could hardly think straight, and it took me some time to get into the car and tell the driver where to go. He thought someone must have cast an evil eye on me. He kept repeating it while driving me home.
Look where you're going.
Well, believe it or not, I was. After I fell down, I must have been in a state of a shock, because I realized how badly bruised I was only the next day.
Yes.
And the left side of my head ached horribly, and so did most parts of my anatomy.
Did you go to see a doctor? I mean, you should get an MRI, a CAT scan, and most probably you need an enema.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. Wait a minute. I forgot. Natasha thinks all doctors are idiots. That's right. She only subscribes to folk medicine.
Well, I did take two painkillers, and it did help, and that took care of my headache. As for my knees, arms, and elbows, I remembered the best remedy ever, and I applied it immediately.
Cow manure.
No, cabbage leaves. Ugh. Don't laugh. Huh? Cabbage is something like a cure-all. If you have an inflammation or a bruise, cabbage leaves are sure to help. It's the first and best remedy when nursing mothers have mastitis. Mm-hmm. I breastfed all my kids and had breast inflammation several times, and every time cabbage leaves saved me. And that's exactly what I did on Saturday morning. I tied cabbage leaves to my knees, my shoulders, and my cheek.
Cabbage is good. In my borscht and pierogi.
It's not funny. Can't you see I'm in pain?
I'm sorry. You should have stayed in bed for at least a couple of days and let me do the show myself, finally.
How could I? Mom's nurse was gone, and I had to go shopping and do lots of other chores. And Sunday morning, I had to take my students to the District English Olympiad. Mm. Six kids from Kathy's class, and Kathy among them, qualified for the second round of the annual inter-school competition in English called Olympiad. We outstripped even specialized linguistic schools.
Well, good for you, but these kids, they're big kids, right? 13, 14-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
So why did you have to take them to the Olympiad? Couldn't they just find their own way?
Well, you see, school children in Russia attend all school-organized events only under strict supervision of their teachers. Mm-hmm. We are responsible for them. So I bring them there, and I take them back to school from where they can go home all by themselves. However, this time we thought of a better plan. The kids were hungry, and we went to a nearby restaurant of Russian cuisine called Yolki Palki, or Fir Trees and Sticks, and had a hearty and very yummy meal.
Yeah, I love Yolki Palki. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not one of those fancy upscale restaurants, yet the food is very good. It's a chain restaurant which is decorated in the Russian countryside style. The waiters are dressed in Russian old village costumes, and the menu offers everything from pelmeni, dumplings, and blini, pancakes, to, I don't know, cranberry juice and kvass.
Right. We ordered salads, pies, meat and potatoes, and four different sorts of tea. And while we were eating, we discussed the Olympic tasks the kids had fulfilled and the mistakes they had made.
Sounds good. How many were you at the restaurant? How many of you were there at the restaurant?
Seven.
7. And how bad was the bill?
$2,500.
Actually, not bad. Not bad, considering prices are skyrocketing.
Not bad at all. That's roughly $45.
Now, did you have a buffet lunch, or did you order from the menu à la carte?
À la carte. Only two boys had buffet, which is offered to children at half price, so they paid only $4 each. After lunch, we decided to go to the movies and watch a film in English at a local movie theater called 35 Millimeters.
They still do that. They show films in English. You mean without translation, right?
Yes, but with subtitles.
Was it American or British?
Neither. It was a Franco-Canadian film, The Young and Prodigious Tia Spivet. A very nice movie about a child prodigy who invents a perpetual motion mechanism and wins an award from Washington's Smithsonian Institute. I was amazed to see that my students enjoyed every minute of that kind, humorous, and somewhat sentimental movie, devoid of any violence or sex.
Well, yeah, they're only 13 or 14.
But crazy about Hunger Games and had just watched the latest installment.
Everyone here is crazy about the
Absolutely.
Hunger Games. I saw the first film, and then let me make this clear. A friend of mine made me see it, saying it's the best movie to come out in years. I personally found it so boring, I fell asleep in the theater, much like, I don't know, Grandpa Simpson. I'm surprised they released the sequel in Russia. That's one bit of the free world which should have been banned under all the sanctions and counter-sanctions. So have you seen it?
No, are you kidding? I don't watch such movies.
Such movies?
Well, I mean, all that violence. I'd be horrified, would see nightmares. But I did enjoy Tia Spivet. The plot, the acting, and the fantastic panorama of the United States. And I realized how much I miss America and how much I want to visit it again as soon as possible.
I saw a wonderful film last weekend, which came out a short while ago, called Philomena, starring Judi Dench and Steve Coogan.
Oh, Judi Dench. I love Judi Dench.
Nat, if you haven't seen this picture, I strongly recommend it. I was surprised to find it in my pay-per-view movie channel from my cable operator. It was in full HD, excellent Russian dubbing, and it cost me only 25 rubles, which I believe is about like 50 cents nowadays. You know what that tells? 50 cents?
50 cents.
Yes, it tells me no one is ordering it. The comrades want their Transformers and Hunger Games. In fact, here are the top three films here in Moscow in November. At number one, Interstellar. At number two, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, whatever that means. And at number three, Guardians of the Galaxy. That pretty much sums up everything. In addition, by looking at the top three list, it's a representation of a typical escape from reality, which isn't all that rosy right now. The rubles falling, the oil's dripping, prices in food stores are going up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the forecasts for the coming year are not all that optimistic. I'll tell you something else. As you probably know, I mentioned this on the show several times, I work as the brand voice, the voice of the Disney Channel in Russia. You can say whatever you want about Russian television in general, about the way the networks present the news, about viewing numbers, the amount of people who tune in every day, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, the numbers for our channel, the Disney Channel, are starting to climb. And this coincides with the moment when all the economic and political forecasts were being released. In terms of sweet gloom, what we have today is pretty much a repetition of 2008. Many people losing their jobs and, you know, just like back then in 2008, people started watching television, especially sci-fi and movie channels. An escape from reality into the wonderful world of Disney. Aww. Speaking of business during economic meltdown, there's a chain of low-cost food stores in Moscow which were primarily visited by the elderly, pensioners, and the not-so-well-to-do. Well, in these hard times, this chain of discount grocery stores have seen their businesses go through the roof. On the other hand, while on my way to the dacha last weekend, I stopped by a supermarket, pretty high-end, yes, but still not the most expensive. And here's what I bought. Listen to this. I bought a banana.
One?
One banana, two tomatoes, or tomatoes, a cucumber, some cheese, a sandwich, some soup, popcorn, and a bottle of dry white wine. A total of 2,000 rubles, or roughly $50.
Fantastic.
That, my dear comrades, is a lot of money for so little food. Or so I thought. or should not have thought at all. Just ignore it altogether. Just like the person in front of me, who forked out 25,000 rubles for his Friday night shopping. That's around $550. Some people just don't care around here. According to a local website operated by the government, Российская Газета newspaper, the falling ruble isn't an obstacle to tourism. In a poll conducted recently, readers were asked, will the falling ruble increase the flow of tourists to Russia? Now, roughly 35% said yes, it's a great reason to go to Russia. 25% answered no, tourists will refuse to go to Russia. 22% said no because of visa formalities. 12% believe nothing will change. And 6% answered, I don't know. Also, the situation with the ruble has resulted in some interesting price fluctuations. Without going into detail, the price tags for imported electronics are way down right now and will continue to stay that way until the warehouses run out of supplies. So it's a great time to invest your worthless rubles into HD flat screen TVs and giant plasma. Come to Crazy Ivan's Electronics. He is so crazy, his prices are insane. Also, it's the right time for a remont, or a full renovation of my dacha. Yes, the process has started, and if you're interested how these things are done in Moscow dacha land, I'm ready to start a brand new reality feature called The Dacha Diaries, or The Renovation Report, where I'll be sharing info on the work that's being done, how it's being done, and what's the cost. Now, for example, this week I had my prarab, or foreman, visit the dacha. He took a look at the place. He heard what I wanted to do with it, and he was supposed to come up with a plan, timeline, and budget. We decided to start with the most important job, that is of replacing the old windows and wooden frames manufactured in the USSR in the late 70s with modern plastic ones. For that, we will need a specialist from the window company to come over, take measurements, calculate cost, and start production, which will take about 5 working days. After that, he will drive over to my dacha with the new frames together with some workmen and replace the windows.
And the bill for the windows?
Don't ask. Around 120,000 rubles? I don't know. That's roughly roughly $2,000. I may be wrong there.
$2,000? No, it's a little bit less. No, a little bit more. I don't know. I'm all mixed
up.
Yeah,
it's confusing.
In any case, it's a lot.
In any case, we'll keep you posted. More renovation report next week.
This is From Moscow with Love on Radio Sputnik.
Mm-hmm.
Vas?
What?
I had a brainwave yesterday.
Just one? MRI! Honey, you probably mean a brainstorm. Although I wouldn't be surprised. No.
We in Britain don't have brainstorms. We have brainwaves.
You? In Britain?
Listen, just recently we recalled quotes from our Russian parents. I suggest that we recall quotes from our teachers next.
Gotta admit, it's a good idea.
And so we present quotes from our Russian teachers.
That, by the way, was the only thing I liked about school, the bell for recess. That is when everybody would dart up and start packing for the hallways, only to be interrupted by the teacher, who would say...
Звонок для учителя. The bell is for the teacher, said in a shrieky voice to stop the kids from leaving and give them their homework assignment.
Well, how about this one? А голову ты дома не забыл? Perhaps you also left your head at home?
That's what we would hear when we left a textbook or a notebook at home.
Для чего тебе голова? Чтобы шапку носить? What do you need your head for? To wear a hat?
A remark which usually follows a wrong answer.
Either you leave the classroom or I.
A warning to a student who doesn't want to leave the classroom when he's being kicked out for a misdemeanor.
Next time you come to school, be sure to bring your mother along.
What a mean thing to say. That meant you had to tell your parents your misbehavior had really gone too far and your mom was summoned to school. Now you were sure to be grounded.
Oh, here's a good one. Выйди и войди нормально. Go out and come in properly.
I heard it so many times. I was very often late and would rush into the classroom panting like I did today.
All right, we're back. This is From Moscow with Love, and we are talking about quotes from our Russian teachers on From Moscow with Love. Here's one I heard during my very, very first English lesson in a 1975 Moscow school. This is the first time I went to a Soviet school in Moscow, the USSR. So the teacher in her late 50s said to me, "I don't care where you learned your English. Just remember that I know English gooder than you do."
Good, better, best. Never let them rest. Mm. Oh, your good is better and you better best. Huh? Poor woman. She never heard about it, apparently. I wonder where she had learned her English.
Yeah, good question. Finally, here's one I recall hearing during my driving class in the early 80s. Radio Moscow had its own driving school. Very often, the students would play hooky for various reasons, which drove our instructor crazy. I mean, come on. We all believed that a bottle of fine Armenian cognac presented to the teacher would help us pass the graduation exams, right? Wrong! This guy was a diehard educator.
Good.
Who did not believe in bribes. I will never forget what he once said about people missing his class. This is a quote in Russian, and Natasha will translate it into English. You ready? Here we go. Только нож в спину и гроб может оправдать пропуск занятий.
Only a knife in the back and a coffin in the ground can justify missing class.
Sent goosebumps up and down my anatomy. There will be more quotes from our Russian teachers next week. This is From Moscow with Love from Radio Sputnik and via WRMI.
What do you think about the latest change in our laws?
Honey, there have been so many lately, I'm not sure which ones you mean.
The recent change to national gun law, according to which Russians can now carry certain guns in public for the purpose of self-defense.
Well, frankly, I personally think Russia is not yet ready for this. Look, the country is only some, what, 20-plus years old?
Mm-hmm.
On paper and in theory, it sounds possible. According to an analysis by the Russian media site Arguments and Facts, the new policy allows the use of weapons to protect people's lives, health, and property, but not against women, disabled persons, and minors unless they attacked you with a group and arms. That's what it says. Those who have attained licenses are prohibited from carrying weapons during rallies, meetings, demonstrations, recreational activities, and religious ceremonies.
But listen to this. Mm. The news agency TASS says these weapons include long-barreled weapons, pistols, revolvers, homemade tubeless firearm units with cartridges, bullets, and ammunition, gas pistols and revolvers, electric shock devices, devices equipped with tear gas, and homemade spark gaps. I think it's terrible.
Yeah, well, I understand your reaction. It is typical of the majority of Russian women and some men, too. The new law appalls quite a few Russian citizens.
Because we know what consequences it may have in this country. If I could, I would ban the production and use of weapons everywhere, all over the world, wouldn't you?
Well, when you put it that way and use the term in this country, you make it sound like this is some parallel reality. Do you really think it is?
I think that the use of weapons is very dangerous everywhere, be it the United States, Norway, or France. But Russia is especially difficult to control. It is vast and unruly, and you were absolutely right to observe that we're not ready for that. Besides, it is so easy to bribe a shrink here and get a license that I prefer not to think about it.
Well, again, personally, I believe that drivers here should be evaluated by a psychiatrist or a shrink before getting their licenses. Some should take a polygraph with questions like, "Do you intend to race up and down the Moscow streets like a moron?" Some of the things I see on the roads, man, listen, a lot more people die each year in road accidents than from guns. I think there are way too many immature people driving. I mean, look at the way they pass you. From the left, from the right, overpass here, overpass there, cut you off, tailgate, not to mention road rage, and this is both men and women. There are some very aggressive people out there, Natasha. And now what? Give them guns?
Mm-hmm.
People here have been deprived of so many basic freedoms and rights for so many years, and now that they have them, they are not sure how to kick back, relax, and enjoy life. It's a whole new generation out there. They are not wired the same way as we are or were. I think mentality has to change first before letting people use firearms. I'm sure about that. I'm not sure who's going to gauge when that happens and announce to the world that it's time. The time has arrived. Give everyone a gun. but still, I mean, it's a very difficult question, one that's been debated for so many years in the United States. You know, it's Second Amendment.
Sir, this time I fully agree with every word you said. Come visit our Facebook fan site at facebook.com/FromMoscowWithLove. It has all the latest news, pictures, videos, and comments.
Yeah, there's also a whole section of really old photos from our radio days at Radio Moscow World Service, and brand new ones from Radio Sputnik. Gabriel Infante Carrillo says, after seeing those photos, it's hard to believe that you guys hate each other.
Folks, to be frank, we're madly in love with each other, but are desperately trying to conceal it from the rest of the world. So let it stay just between us, okay?
Kip Ivanov writes regarding the new photo shoot, looking good. Is it time for another listener prize drawing? Yes, Kip, I was thinking of giving Natasha away in our spectacular Christmas promotion, The 12 Days of Sputnik, sponsored by the Russian Postal Service. I personally made sure there were little holes in the box I was going to ship her out as a gift. Yeah, I also put some lettuce and carrots and some newspapers in the bottom of the cardboard box.
Breaking news, I'm Vasily Strelnikov at the Radio Sputnik News Center. We are getting reports that Russia wants to use blimps for mail deliveries.
Oh, God.
The Communications and Mass Media Ministry has announced plans to have Russian mail delivered on unmanned airships, according to TASS. The unmanned blimps will be capable of covering 400 kilometers with a payload of 200 kilograms. The Russian Postal Service is famous for its delays and lost parcels, but recently a new management team at state-run Russian Post has been working on improving the company's performance and image. I'm Vasily Strelnikov at the Radio Sputnik News Center saying, have a good trip, Natasha.
Stephen Graves writes, I like the idea of a listener prize drawing, too. Maybe the three studio microphones with a handwritten note from Natalie stating their authenticity. Winner pays all shipping and VAT.
You know something? Natasha doesn't know much about microphones, but I adore the way she pops her peas.
Perfect. So we were talking about our Facebook fan site. If you like it, please like it, just like Shivani Agrari in New Delhi, India, and Sher Khan in Bokaro, Jharkhand, India did. Sher Khan sounds like the tiger in Kipling's Jungle Book.
Yes, and here's a letter from...
Have you seen all the complaints?
Yes, I have. Don't you love them?
Oh, yeah.
Here's one from John J. Petrus in North Versailles, Pennsylvania, USA, who writes, Dear From Moscow With Love, I can't download MP3 files for on-the-going listening of your program. That isn't convenient. Any suggestions?
Oops, and William Kerr says, is there still some way to actually download your program? And your buddy Ian Gilman writes, it looks like you can only stream it now. Is that the case? I like to listen to the show in the car, and that would not be possible with just streaming.
Ian, it's not advised to listen to our show while driving or operating heavy machinery, as it may cause drowsiness.
We have forwarded your questions to the head of Sputnik Control.
And we are expecting an answer any moment now. Right. While we are waiting, let's listen to an original recording made on October 4th, 1957. This is the sound of the world's first artificial satellite, Sputnik 1, transmitting signals from Earth's orbit. And let's hear that again.
Extraordinary.
Extraterrestrial. Still no word from Sputnik Control.
Nope.
Right. Well, we'll be closely monitoring this developing story for you. After all, we're Radio Sputnik, telling the untold.
Hope to see you again next time. Till then, take care.
Stay safe, and...
Do svidaniya!